things of God. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's go to John chapter 13, verse 34. John chapter 13, verse 33 and 34. And we want to start there this morning. Thank God. Everybody say, thank God for His Word. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we want to thank God. What an opportunity it is to share the Word of God, the Word of faith across Canada. We're preaching the gospel right out of Thunder Bay. We're reaching all the way across from Newfoundland, all the way to right to the ends of British Columbia. Every once in a while, I get messages from there telling me how much they appreciate the Word of God and how God is moving in their personal lives and how the messages are changing their lives. And I believe it's changing your life as well. God's Word will change your life. And we need to begin to shore up our lives. We need to do more personal work on our part to begin to get more mature. How many would say yes about that? We need to do more personal work. We need to become more insightful as people. Become more aware of ourselves and how we're coming across and the messages we're bringing to other people. You know, God is at work in us. You're not complete. You're not going to look like how you look like right now another 5 years from now. You're going to look a whole lot different. You're going to look like a whole lot like Jesus. You're going to look more prettier than you actually are because of Jesus, amen? How many people know it? How many people would say amen to the fact that you look a whole lot better in Christ than you do out of Him? Huh? You know, my wife talked about growing up, how we're touching the lives of people. And we get an opportunity to share the Word of faith across Canada. I love the Word of God. Amen. You know, I'm talking to find my place. I'm talking so that people will get to find their place spiritually. But I also want to say something. Sometimes, you know, you get into the message and you'll say different things, but there's lots of stuff on my heart about this church, about the condition of this church, about the condition of our city, and all the wrangling that goes on that is unnecessary. Amen? Amen? Lots of fighting on Facebook. But whose team's the better one? Amen? We're on the winning team. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen? Amen? And He's doing a great work. I see a lot of familiar faces here. Some of you might have shaved, but I recognize you. Some of you might have washed your hair. You look a whole lot different. Thank God. This is Canada, 2019. Next year, it'll be 20 years since I graduated from Rhema Bible Training Center College. 20 years. Thank you for that clap. The Lord spoke to me and my wife. She said, pick up and go. I was praying. I was over in 232 Beck Street, and the Lord spoke to me there. I said, honey, call me when the lunch is ready. So I went home for lunch from the Secord Street all the way to over here near this side of town, and went to prayer, and I prayed in the Holy Ghost, began to worship God, and suddenly the word of the Lord came unto me saying, get out of town. He says, leave town. I want you to leave. Go to Rhema. You know, right now, leave. Well, He didn't mean that second. But you know how many people know that God, in the spiritual realm, there's no such thing as time. I want to repeat that one more time. In the realm of the spirit, there's no such thing as time. We live in time. That's why God, when He speaks about faith, it's now. If you don't believe something, you have to believe. I mean, if you don't believe it now, you never will get what you want. You have to believe that you receive it now. That's what Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. You have to believe when you pray, the moment you pray, whatever you pray for, that's whatever you find in here and you pray about it, you ask God for it, ask in prayer. You have to believe it, that you receive it right that second. If you're full of cancer, you're sick with cancer, and if you pray, God heal me, you have to believe I receive my healing from cancer right now while you're racked up with pain. And if you can't do that, then you'll never receive it. Hallelujah. Let's do a better pray right now. It's getting pretty hot in here. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand up one more time. The Bible says when you stand praying, believe. Amen? So we'll physically stand, but on the inside, we're standing in faith. Hallelujah. I don't know how you pray. Do you pray with your eyes closed or your eyes open? When you say your prayer, sometimes it's better to close your eyes. So you can close your eyes, lift up your hand, and ask God something. Let's, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. We pray for every single person in this room that the Word of God will go deep in their hearts. We pray that the Holy Spirit will begin to change them under the inspiration of the Word of God as it goes forth. I pray that you'd give me the Word of God to speak as the man of God says, it's a pen of a ready writer. Let my tongue speak to the hearts, writing in the hearts of men, the Word of God. We thank you as they hear the Word, they'll begin to change. We give you praise in advance for the miraculous, supernatural, infectious love of God, hitting the hearts of people, changing their lives, and they'll be better off being here after they leave. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, go to John chapter 13. And we want to read the King James Bible, John 13, 34 and 35. We're going to talk about loving unconditionally will show that we're born of God. We want to talk about loving others. That's my message. Loving others. Everybody say loving others. Say, I'm glad I came. Hallelujah. Now, we're talking about loving unconditionally shows that we are born of God. The text is found in John chapter 13, 34, and we're going to read 35 also. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He said, a new commandment I give unto you. A new commandment I give unto you. That you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you love one another, he says three times there that you should love one another. He's emphasizing that we ought to love one another. Notice this scripture in verse 34 says it's a commandment. Love is a commandment. Love is not a feeling, which is more popular in our society, in our culture, that love is a feeling. It's not a feeling. It's a product of the love of God. Feelings. Love is not a feeling, but it's a way of life. Love is a way of life. And this love that God commands us to do is not optional. This love is not a take it or leave it. In any relationship that you have with people in society, with people that bug you, people that hate you, it's not an option whether you love your wife or a husband. It's not an option whether you love your children that are not doing what you're supposed to do or they're doing what they're supposed to do. This love is not an option. Everybody say love.
Love
is not an option.
Love.
It's not a feeling.
Love.
Say it's a command. So Jesus commands us to love one another. He emphatically told his disciples that they must love each other. He didn't say, if it's good, if you feel good, love each other. If you have a good feeling. No, this is something that has to be done. And it's something that they're not doing right. And all through the New Testament, it talks about in there that we should love each other. Why would you tell people all through life to love each other if it was automatically done? Now, we look at love. We want to talk about love. We talk about loving. Loving is not a feeling, we said. And so that puts a whole picture in love because, you know, we want to love our favorite people. We want to love to do whatever what makes us feel good. If I'll do a project for you, I'll do something for you only if it makes me feel good, only if I get something out of it. If I get more friends out of it, if I get more money out of it, I'll do something for you, I'll love you and do this project for you only if it gives me more business. No, God says love. You must love. And I'll show you something that what we think, you know, is something hard. You know, Jesus said, I want you to love each other as I've loved you. I want you to imagine something, to love people that bug you. People that you don't agree with. People that you have a hard time with. The toughest times in your life. So today we're talking about loving people. And loving people unconditionally shows that we're born of God, that we're born from above. Everybody, say the same love. I want to show you something here. Jesus said, love one another. What does he mean by that? The same love that Jesus loved you, he says, notice, go back to John 13:34. He said, a new commandment I give unto you. I'm giving you this commandment. If he's giving you this command, then maybe he's also giving you this love at the same time. Okay? He said, I give unto you that you love one another. That's all across the spectrum. That's talking about not just your favorite people, but it's talking about everybody that hates you, everybody that says bad about you, everybody that abused you, everybody that used you. You must love them. I want you to think of this. How does that look in your mind? How does loving look in your mind? What does he mean by that? I want you to see something in Luke chapter 23 and verse 33, the New Living Translation. I'm reading the New Living sometimes just because it's easier to read. If it doesn't change a whole lot from the original King James, I read it. If it changes a whole lot, I'll put on other scriptures to show you what it really means. So I'm not just telling you, you know, sometimes you read the King James, it doesn't say a whole lot. If you read the description of love in the King James Bible, you're not going to see a whole lot if you're not a studier. So as a teacher, I have to dissect it and bring it into edible, easy way so that people will understand it, the common person. When you teach the Bible, you should teach in terms of a grade 4 level, I heard. So I'm assuming everybody has grade 4 in here. Or you get a mentality of a grade 4. So Luke chapter 23, did you find it? Say amen. Three people. Four, maybe five at least. Did you have the scripture? You don't? Some of you got them. But let's go to the over here. I think maybe somebody's got it. I gave my notes back there somewhere. Luke 23:33. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross. That is Jesus. And the criminals were also crucified, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Now, Jesus is crucified, being crucified on the cross. Can you imagine the suffering he had already obtained or had gone through in the garden, and he sweat drops of blood. The Bible said there was so much pressure on him. How many people had so much, you felt pressure in your life? How many felt pressure in your life? Now, sometimes people pressure you. People pressure you in life, and you feel pressure from all around. And Jesus not only had the pressure of carrying your sin and going to the cross and doing something he didn't want to do. And there's times that you out here don't want to do what God wants you to do, or people want you to do something for them that you don't want to do. I mean, there's a lot of times I don't want to go to the hospital. You know, do people expect me I should go to every hospital bed just because I'm a pastor? I don't see that in my job description. And I'm not everybody's pastor. And I feel pressure sometimes from the city, from different people, just like you might find pressure from everybody. Expectation, we live in expectation. Every Christian has expectations in their lives. I was up downtown, somebody tapped on my window and asked me for money. Sometimes people ask me for money because they see I'm driving a nice car. Or they look at you, they say, you look like a guy who has money. And when they know you're a pastor, they say, well, you should give me money. What kind of a Christian are you? I said, the kind that doesn't have any money. You know? And so, people expect different things. But so here's Jesus on the cross. He's got pressure on him, and everybody has pressure. Here's something I learned, that if you're in faith, you don't put pressure on people. Because you put pressure on the Word, you put pressure on the Lord. You don't put pressure on each other, right? You should trust God. That's why, you know, when you're a salesperson, I hope all you salespeople listen to me. You don't put pressure on people. Trust God that God will bring the right person to you. I don't put pressure on people that come here, you got to do this, you got to do that. No, you got to do it because you want to do it. I'm trusting God that you're going to listen to the Lord. People like to go and do things where they want to go because they're selfish. What am I going to get out of it? So here's Jesus. He said the Bible says, Luke says that he was nailed to the cross. He was crucified. And he said, Father, forgive them. How about you and me when we've been nailed to the cross? When we've been crucified on Facebook or whatever. You've been crucified by someone and you said, Father, and you turn around, Father, forgive them. Can you do that? Well, let's go look at another. Over here, Jesus did that. Let's go to Acts chapter 7. And we're going to read verse 60 is what we're going to look at. But let's go look at verse 56. And we're going to catch up to verse 60 so that we can get a personal understanding of what happens here. There's a man by the name of Stephen. You know what Stephen means? I don't know what Stephen means, but Stephen is a nice name. Stephen, verse 7, chapter 7, verse 56, and they told him, look, and he told them, he's talking to those people there that was, hurting him. He said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the place of honor at God's right hand. Then they put their hands over their ears and began shouting. They rushed at him and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. His accusers took off their clothes and laid him at the feet of a young man named Saul. That's, the Apostle Paul there later on. And as they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He fell to his knees shouting, Lord, don't charge them for the sin. With that, he died. Isn't that just like Jesus? So we're saying, according to Scripture, this same kind of love that Jesus told us all in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Jesus said, I command you to love one another. The same love that he put in you, or that was in him, is he put in every one of us right now. The same love that Jesus commanded us to love, not only did he give you a commandment, but he also gave you his love. When you got born again, this love was put in your heart. You're born of God. You're born of a love God. And this love will suffer long. This love can take the pressure. And if you're going to love out of your human standard, you're going to fail. You're not going to make it. And so Jesus, and over here, this man, Stephen, showed us how the love of God works. Now, this is extreme situation, but you're not under extreme situation when somebody asks you for 10 bucks and you go crazy. Or drive you across town, or take some of your hours out of your time. No one's crucifying you, nailing you to the wall. You know, we say love makes the world go round. But we don't want to go around the world. Eh? Love makes the world go round. Somebody said money does. Well, the same love, this is the point, the same love that was in Jesus, the same love that's in this man called Stephen, is the same love that is in each one of us. It always forgives. This love holds no resentment. It doesn't keep up grudges. It doesn't hold a grudge. It has no animosity. It doesn't keep anger. It doesn't count, you know, okay, he did this to me, but next time I get a hold of this guy, I'm going to keep this in mind. If next time he asks me something, I'm going to blow up over him, you know. No? I want you to see something here that God gives us. He gives us a description. Or if you want to know the meaning of love, you know, the Bible interprets itself. The Bible scriptures will interpret each other. So you understand, when you're reading the Bible, there's other pieces of it that will come together that will make you understand even more. That's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved of God. A workman that needed not be ashamed or disappointed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So when you talk about love, when we talk about love in this world, we're not talking about the everyday feel-good feeling that we have. Okay, that's part of it. Thank God that we can have that kind of feeling. It's nice to have it, especially in your family because you live with people. It's nice to be affectionate with the members of your family. And there's no grudges, there's no resentments. And everybody's loving each other, doing the right thing. And, you know, about the times when they're not doing the right thing and you're at odds with people in your own family. It's hard to live with people when you're at odds with them all the time, especially if they're always messing up. Praise God. Everybody said, the love of God is in me. I feel like God's talking to you and changing you right now. And there's something happening in you right now. God is changing you. He's moving. God is moving in a great way. He's moving. Praise God. Amen. Everybody say, God is moving. Say, he's moving among us. Say, supernatural love. Supernatural power of God. Say, he's moving around. Come on, do this. Say, he's moving around. Come on, let me see your hand. Say, he's moving around. A colleague of mine was saying, you know, he's all excited, put it on Facebook, you know. I don't mean to be a smart aleck. Sometimes I like to say some things because they think that God is suddenly moving. He's been always moving. God has always moved. We'll say things like, you know, oh, he's moving because we had a service. Oh, God is moving around. No, he's always moving. God, the Holy Ghost is always moving. And what we need to do is hook up with him and start moving with him. Say, I'm moving with God. I want to tell you something. There's a supernatural move of God right now, this morning, in this place right now. I mean, things could break out. I mean, you could just break out in healing right now. Amen. You could just break out of your sadness right now. You can break out of your resentment right now. Chains will fall off. Amen. Old grudges will fall away. Praise God. Amen. All your anger goes away all of a sudden. The supernatural anointing is over here right now. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? People say, you know, when you leave church, you say, man, God was just moving this morning in service. This is my keys to my car. I'm not going to give anybody this car. Not this time. I'm waiting for my, can you catch this? Let's see, watch, see if you can catch it. Woohoo! Give her a hand, guys. Sign her up. It's hurting me. All right. So we just saw Jesus commanded us. He said, you got to love one another, love everybody. And you know, and it's funny, in churches, some people don't love each other. They're just mad at each other. And they won't go to another place because they don't like that pastor because he did something to them a long time ago. And so they're mad at everybody in church. There's a whole pile of people, First Nations people, they're mad at the government for all the things they did. So they're holding a grudge and they're in such turmoil. They're mad at everybody. They're mad at Harper. They don't know who to love anymore. I hate that. They said, I hate Trudeau. I don't like Harper and I don't have a choice. What am I going to do? I said, Jagmeet is your man. I always tease people because I like that name, Jagmeet. I don't know anybody that by the name of Jagmeet. You ought to love somebody that has that kind of name. And I with a name like Roma, who ever met a man named Roma? I'm the only guy that I ever met. And what is your name, Roma? You're Roma too, yeah. So I've never met anybody like that, never had that experience. How many of you met someone with the same name? See, I've never had the Lord help me. I'm one of a kind, they say. Yeah? Okay, so here's the thing about it. You know, we say, well, what does love look like? You know, Jesus said, love one another. I mean, we think about Jesus being some philosophical, poetic guy. Love one another. You know, Jesus, can you imagine? You know, I think about that. You know, he's just not some kind of, feminine man. Just love one another. Over the years, I thought about this, you know, in my think about what Jesus was like, you know. Was he shouting? Was he saying, you need to love one another? You know, so Jesus told the people that we must love each other. We got to love one another. And so when we think about it, what does it look like? We always think about the extreme. I just gave you two extremes, you know, Jesus on the cross, Stephen being stoned to death, you know. They took his clothes and sold them, whatever. Took everything, stripped everything from him. Now, you know, we come from different cultures. And sometimes cultures, you know, they look at different things from their slant, from their history. You look at things as you get educated, as you go around, you understand about culture, you understand about different things. You know, we have a different slant on things. When we talk about love, what does it look like? So thank God the Bible gives us a description of what love looks like in the Bible. And we think about, what does God's love look like? You know, we ask ourselves, what does it look like? Have you ever asked a question? I don't know if some of us have done that. How can I love others? You might ask yourself, how can I love others just like Jesus? Did that be difficult? And if you say, I don't feel like I can love other people, how can I love my neighbors? How can I love people who've hurt me? When you're forced to live in a small community like a reserve, like we lived on a small reserve, I think it was 1 mile by something, 1 mile by something, can't remember, just a small, one of the smallest reserves in Canada, on a swamp, piece of swamp. And they put us there. They said, this is your community. And so you're kind of forced to live with each other. You know, you're living in poverty and everybody's trying to get up on each other. And you kind of, like, you hate people. You just want to hate each other. You're stuck. And I didn't feel like loving my neighbor growing up. I didn't feel like loving my neighbor. In fact, I felt hate. Until I met just Jesus. Now, If you were like me, I'd say, well, how could I ever love people like Jesus did? How could I ever do that? I don't feel I could do that. And so here in the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8, the Bible gives us a description of what actually love looks like. And the Amplified Version, the Amplified Bible, of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8, I want to read this. Let's look at it together. I want to look at the screen, the Amplified Bible. It says, love endures with patience. You know, love is patient. When you're impatient with people, you're not acting in love. You're short on people. I know when you're in line, you're rushing, you know, you want to get your stuff done, and everybody else wants to get their stuff done. They're driving slow in front of you. Or that lady, I know I had this experience this week, and there happened to be, I had to be at the old age time when everybody gets their check, and I'm at the A&P, is it called A&P? Metro, and there's a whole line. Everybody there seemed to all come out at the same time. There's a big lineup, and I was getting impatient and, you know, thinking about, you know, these people are so slow. Why don't you just pay up? I mean, quit, you know, why are you digging that bag for? You know, you could just take your bags as you leave so that can get in there. None of you done this, I'm sure. You know. Why is that waitress taking so long? I wanted my pancake now. Give it to me now. The hotel used to be better than this before. Anybody been there? So love is patient and serenity. Love is kind. You know, have you been unkind? You said unkind words. You were not treating people. And it's thoughtful. It is not jealous. Envious. You don't envy people when they got stuff. They're being blessed. You say, thank God. Love does not brag. You Boston Bruins fans, listen. You know, my team is the best team. Or your Leaf fans. Love doesn't brag. It's not proud or it's not arrogant. Love is not rude. Anybody ever been rude? You've been rude? Somebody's been rude to you? Yeah? Sometimes, you know, people have been rude. I went to visit someone in the hospital. They're being rude to me. And I said, you know, I don't have to be here. I can leave. I'm coming to visit with you, talk with you. And I understand that they were mad. They're mad at everybody, mad at the world. They're sick, right? When people are sick, they're not nice people. So it's not self-seeking. I want it my way. I want things. I want, this is what I'm going to do. I want to do this. I don't know what you want to do, but here's what I want to do. You're putting yourself first, right? It does not provoke. It's not provoked. It's not easy, overly sensitive. How many of you get up in the morning, you're just overly sensitive until you have your seventh coffee? Huh? It's not sensitive, easy, angered. It does not take into account wrong. So here's something where people do. You know, I'm just going to chalk this down right now, and I want to tell you something. I know he hurt me, and he hurt me real bad, and I've been suffering ever since then, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to get him back. And I'm going to, I got a right. I got a right to be mad at him. That's what you know, human people do, right? But the Bible said this is not love. This is not right. Jesus said you're not supposed to do that. Are you getting a picture of what love looks like in your family, in your relationship, and everything else? Let's go to the next verse. It does not rejoice in injustice. When somebody else is suffering, oh, they got what they deserve. I'm telling you something. You know, they got it. I'm happy about it. I'm happy the Bruins lost last night. I mean, listen, it's going to come back to you. Right? I heard the Habs did okay last night, yesterday as well, but they're going to get it too. Okay. But rejoices with truth when right and wrong truth prevail. That's what God's love is like. So next time you think about it, look at your behavior and begin to contrast it with that. Compare it with that. And this is what God expects of us. He's expecting us to love other people. So we're commanded to love everyone in life, as Jesus said in John chapter 13. We ought to love our haters and love our enemies. Look over here in Luke chapter 6, verse 27, reading the King James Version. He says, I say unto you, Jesus said, I say to you, unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. That means you're going to do something good for somebody who hasn't been really nice to you. That breaks off a whole lot of a bondage right there. I'm telling you, this is a miracle service this morning. You say, you know, if you want to say, man, I went to a miracle service this morning. You know? It's manifesting. Now, let's go over here. Luke chapter 6, verse 28 to 35. Jesus further begins to say some things here that will tell us, bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you or abuse you, I guess that's the word there. And unto them that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that take away thy cloak, forbid him not to take thy cloak also. Give to every man that asks it of thee, and of him that take it away thy goods, ask them not again. As you would have men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which also do good to you, and what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. If you lend to them which whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to the sinners to receive much again. But love your enemies and do good to them and lend, hoping that nothing for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind and unto the thankful and unto the evil. That's a whole lot in there. You know, can we do that? God tells us to. Jesus said to do it. And yet we're running around acting like the rest of the world. Strike me and I'll strike you. Hit me, I'll hit you back. Insult me, I'll insult you even more. But that's not Jesus' way. This is not normal. This is not normal when people say, how come you don't fight back? Why don't you say something? What kind of, aren't you a little bit weak, aren't you? No. Listen, I'm being strong. The ones who are strong are the ones who don't fight back. They got control on the inside of them. They can be constrained by the Spirit of God. They love other people. You know, this love ought to work in our families, right? It's got to work with your children. It's got to work with your wife. You know, those of you who've been married, you understand this. When you fight, you want to win. Especially when you first got married to somebody, you want to win. You want to show them who's boss, us men, you know. Everybody go, hoo, 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 come on. Hoo, 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 come on. Hoo, hoo, hoo. There's only like 7 men in here. Come on. We understand, you know, somebody said, you know, well, listen. We want to be men, and sometimes we say, well, we say around here anyway, the man always says, you know, I'm the man of the house. We want to tell people, we're the ones, you know, we're supposed to be, we say, because we have pressure. You know, it's not about being man of the house. In our house, the dogs are the man of the house. They control everything. The two dogs there. They tell you when you have to go to the bathroom, when to clean up and everything else. Notice in Ephesians 6, 1 to 4, I'm reading the Common English Bible because it's easier to read. As for children, obey your parents in the Lord because it is right. The commandment, honor your father and mother, which is the first one with a promise attached, so things will go well for you. You know, when things going well, that means you're successful. When you obey your parents, when you're good with them, Jesus said there's going to be a blessing in it. If you obey mom and dad, I wasn't a born again Christian way back then. I was taught by my elders and my grandparents that we should respect everybody. We should love everyone. You know, we need grandparents again to teach our children those kind of things. When I was a boy, when my grandparents came in, an elder came in, I got up. I had to stand up when they come in. Make sure I'm going to be able to be helpful to that person. And so that's what we did. We learned that somehow it kind of slipped away from us. Where did those days go? And so it's a promise. What's the promise? That things will go well with you. That you'll be successful. When you love your parents, you'll live a long life. We all want to live long. You know, we shouldn't die. Our children shouldn't die before us. Because if this works the way it should be, we would die before our children. And yet we have thousands of people dying. There's something going on. As for parents, don't provoke your children to anger. How many parents are just fighting with their kids all the time, just, you know, provoking them, forcing them, trying to fight with them all the time? I mean, I could fight all the time with my kids. They don't realize how much time I restrain myself. I mean, I'm restraining myself all the time. Somebody would say amen to that, right? Yeah, you fight with your children all the time, but they don't know how much we're putting up, you know? You know, we like to act like, you know, we're putting up all this stuff, you know. But God tells us, commands us, don't provoke our children. Don't get them all angry and all that stuff. Because we push them further away. But raise them up with discipline and instruction. I like this part. Right? The discipline part better, too. And instruction, you tell them what to do, you know. I told you don't do that. Why did you buy that car for? We could read verse 5 to 9. I want you to read 5 to 9 on your own. Okay, let's go ahead and read it. As for slaves, obey your human masters. This you have to read this in context, okay? We don't have slaves today, but we have people working under our working for us. People who work with you. Maybe you're a supervisor or somebody, and you're a master over them, or your supervisor or somebody over somebody, and they work in your department, or you hire them and they're your employees. As for slaves, obey your human masters with fear and trembling, with sincere devotion to Christ. Don't work to make yourself look good and try to flatter people, but act like slaves of Christ, carrying out God's will from the heart. Serve your owners enthusiastic as you were serving the Lord and not human beings. You know that the Lord will reward every person who does what is right, whether that person is slave or free, or free person. As for masters, treat your slaves in the same way. He's not just telling the people down below them, but the people above them, he's telling them to treat them the same way. Everybody wants to be treated equal. Everybody wants to be treated with respect and honor. Even if somebody is working for you, treat them with some honor. So, because you know that both of you and your slaves have a master in heaven. He doesn't distinguish between the people on the basis of status. God wants us to love each other no matter who we are. We need to love each other equally. This is a good reminder. Look at over here, Colossians 3:19, and the King James says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. The Amplified says, husband, love your wives, be affectionate and sympathetic with them. Do not be harsh or bitter or resentful towards them. If a husband does that, the wife is going to love them even more. You know, we have this thing in our society, you know, I own you, you're my wife, and, you know, you better do as I say. And that's why when I marry people, we go through these things, you know, and people have problems with these kind of things because somehow they got the distorted thinking that this is how it's going to be with the King James Version or in the church, that you're going to force each other. That's not how love works. That's not how it works. You got to see the whole picture. When you're reading the Bible, it's not you read something you don't understand. There's other portions of it that you have to see that it fits together. Right? So, Ephesians 5:25 says, husband, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. Like, you're going to love, the way we love our wives is the way God loves every one of us. He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't, you know, put us aside or whatever. We should treat each other just the way Jesus treated people. He never knocked people ahead. He never insulted people and hurt them and so on. You know, in a marriage relationship, we know there's an abuse in the relationship. Say a man is abusing the wife. And it's over a period of time. She's getting black and blue and, you know, being neglected. And he goes out and drinking and he's messing around with other women. And then that woman leaves. And people say, no, you got to go back there. Well, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. That's not the Bible teaches that. And people got this all mixed up for some reason. They think that they have to stay in that situation. They don't have to stay in that situation anymore. You have to stay in that situation. You have to endure that. Because you love, you remember, you got to love them. Your vows. Yet my vows didn't say you beat me black and blue and I'll stay with you no matter what. Now I'm treading on where angels are afraid to tread. Because this is very controversial in some areas because people don't have the word in them. They don't have the word understanding about this. They condemn everybody to hell who's left their wives, the wives who left their husbands in that situation. He can have four or five wives and do what he wants while she's being back black and blue. Okay, we're going to go by this pretty good here. Listen. 1 Corinthians chapter, let's go read 1 Corinthians. Let's shut down with this last scripture. We'll finish the rest next time. Go to 1 Corinthians. We're going to end here. Tell your neighbor he's ending now. Say maybe. No. We'll do this. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm reading the King James. He said, I, brethren, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual. How many spiritual people we have here? There's a few of you that can relate. You can relate to me. Out of you, you'll have to just bear it. Okay. I couldn't speak to you as spiritual, but as carnal. You know what carnal means? That means people who are fleshly, who just live in the flesh. They live in the world, they're Christians, but they don't care about living, you know, in unison with Christ, with you know, with the understanding of the scripture. But as carnal, even as babes in Christ or babies in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. Hitherto you're not able to bear it, even now are you able. Verse 3 says, for you are carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal to walk as men? The Amplified says, walk as unregenerated men. In other words, these Christians were acting like they were not even saved. I said, when we're walking, this love of God in us, when we begin to operate in it, we begin to know something. We begin to know something more. So a spiritual man, listen to this, a real spiritual person has these three qualities in a person. You can tell what a spiritual person really is like. Number one, a spiritual man, he said, I could not speak to you as spiritual. What is the spiritual man? The spiritual man is a mature person. When he talks about spiritual, it means this person is governed by the person on the inside, not the flesh. Not the carnal mind, not your own mind, but the mind of God, that his scriptures say. Not how we feel, but by principles. We walk by principles. This spiritual man is governed by principles and not by emotion, not because of our experiences, but by the principles of God. And here's the three outstanding qualities of that person. Number one, they know their identity. They know that they are children of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, I believe it's chapter 5, verse 1 says that we act like our Father. We act in love just like God, as children of a love God. The Bible says the first thing that happens to us when we're born again, the first thing we know is we love people. When you get born again, the 1 John says the first thing you'll experience is the love of God. You begin to love God. You begin to love the Bible. You begin to love people. So the first quality of a mature Christian is that you know who you are. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You're going to act like your Father God, from a love perspective. Number two, you will conduct your affairs, all your affairs, by the law of love. You're going to treat each other, you're going to treat that person with respect and honor, and you're going to treat that person with delicacy because you're going to walk in love. You're going to do nothing to harm them, but you're going to do everything to bless them and support them and give them what you can. Now you have to begin to use this in a way that, you know, you're not going to let yourself get beaten to death or abused forever. The last thing is that they walk by faith. You're not going to walk by your emotions when you're a person who is a spiritual person. You're not going to walk by feelings. So if you walk by love, you're going to say, you know what? I realize I got to act how I feel here, but I'm going to act by the principle of love. You know? That doesn't mean you're going to disregard how you feel. You're going to say, there's a time, you know, how many people know, there's a time you're going to express your emotion to somebody. Don't forget, you know, you understand this. I gave you a description of what love is, but there's four kinds of love the Bible talks about. The highest kind is the love of God, which is spread abroad in our hearts. And I need to tell you, Romans 5:5, as we gave you those scriptures of, you know, the Jesus said, you know, how he loved, the same, that love is in us, Stephen. How he loved is the same love in us. Romans 5:5 says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So when you got born again, the love is inside you right now. Let's go ahead and stand up as we close. We're going to close this section in prayer and thank God for his love. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Are you guys doing okay? Are you going to love more? You're going to be haters or lovers? Lovers. You're going to love more. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I love the church. I love Pastor Steve Moore. He's a Boston fan, but I love him. We're calling a truce because we won last night. You know, we put all the Montreal Canadian fans in the front, and there's only two of them. Seriously, you know, we have the love of God in us. I want you to know that God's love is in you, and that you need to forgive people, to set yourself free so that you can go ahead. Don't let that thing drag in you and keep you down, that you have to get back, and you use all energy to get back at people. Those of you that are watching online, I want to let you know God's love is in you. That there is a supernatural love inside of you. That you're going to tap into it. Forgive people. Forgive your enemies. Love people. Make sure you bless people. Treat people with kindness and love. Always be humble and kind. That's a good song I heard. That's a good song. I want to thank my God. My daughter here, Natasha, come out of here, honey. Come here. This is you let the other one there. This is your time because she's here every week. This is my beautiful daughter, Natasha, and she's traveling all over. She's taller than me now. I think I'm getting shorter all the time.
I think so.
Yeah. She's been traveling all over the north with projects, with helping kids, working. She's been working with young children. What is your tour called?
It's called the Reach for Life Tour.
And so what does that do?
We go to different communities, remote First Nations communities, and inspire not only the kids, but also every community member to reach their highest potential and achieve their goals and their dreams. And yeah, that's basically what we do.
You enjoying that?
Yeah, we inspire them through music. That's what we do.
And so I heard you're going to have another interview in Toronto soon.
Yeah, I actually got asked to do a Global News Toronto interview with the TV network, so we're going to see what's going to come of that, you know, believing for good things.
Yeah. What's one of your favorite scriptures?
Well, I don't know, you put me on the spot here.
Yeah, but you used to say, obey your parents and your mom.
Oh, yeah, I used to say, obey your parents and your mom, everybody.
So I used to tell her, okay, so what's your favorite scripture? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, she said, what is it? She said, obey your parents and your mom.
Especially your mom, everybody.
Praise God. Next time you come back, you better do a song for us.
For sure.
Okay. You go away now.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, Jesus. It's nice when your children obey you and they respect you, but it's horrible. You know, when the Bible says the children are a heritage of the Lord and they're a reward, that's Psalm 127. But when your children are acting like demons, you think, where are these kids come from? Right? So where did they come from? You don't know where they come from. Especially, you know, ever pick up a little puppy. Oh, beautiful puppy. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. And then when they crap everywhere, you think, where did this dog come from? They eat up everything. Your shoes. My wife had brand new shoes. Solo ate the shoe. You don't wonder where the love of God went. So, amen. Anyway, Father, we want to thank you so much. We thank you for the word of God that changes lives. I pray that everyone here, that there was a supernatural anointing here. I just sense it. I just know it. The love of God in this place is shed abroad in their hearts. And that this love is renewed by their commitment this morning. This love will begin to flow out of them. And they're going to be loving, so loving this week. They're going to think, where have I ever been? Where have I gone? How far I've gone? We thank you for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you that we hold no grudges, Father. We pray that we release everyone who's hurt us. We pray that we release them right now. We ask you, Father, as Jesus said, forgive them, Father. We release them. We hold no grudges against them. And we look forward to the future that everyone we meet will understand that the love of God, the same love that was in Jesus and Stephen, is in us right now. And we thank you for it. Although we might fall down, maybe we might fall down again, but we're going to get back up. We say, listen, I'm growing. I'm learning. We thank you for that. If there's anybody here, it's under my voice, that's been away from Jesus, you've been away from God, you say, Father, I'm sorry. I apologize, but I also repent. I change my ways. I make a stand to walk with you. I want to walk with you. And right now, I'll do it. And if you're not born again, say, Jesus, come in my life, save me. I'm a sinner. I need you. I need a Savior. Come into my life. I believe that Jesus, you're the Son of God. I believe that you're my Savior, my Lord, and I'll walk with you for the rest of my life on this earth. I give you thanks and praise that I'm not born again because I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. He's my Lord and my Savior. And anybody here that needs healing, Father, we pray for every single person in here that has physical problems and challenges in their life. So we pray together. You said, if two shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. So we're praying for every person in this room, every person that's watching online. We pray the healing power of Jesus again, flowing into the bodies, flowing into every bone and every cell, every nerve, every fiber of their being. Thank you, Lord God, flushing out all impurity, all sickness and disease. The love of God is flowing in there in the name of Jesus. And everyone with a sore in their mind, sore looking at their past. I pray, Lord, we pray healing in the soul right now, that the soothing power of the love of God is washing away all pain, all hurt. I thank you for that right now in the name of Jesus. So we thank you by faith. We lift up holy hands. We say, Lord, thank you for healing me. Thank you for healing my body. Thank you for giving me new life. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen and amen. Go ahead.